Oh, that's college football right there. The familiar sounds of college football. We all love it. We all know about it. We all appreciate it. We're here for it. Not much college football content on today's show in Open Run with BTG, but just I'm getting y'all warmed up because we will have a couple of games this weekend. But we know college football opening weekend will always, and I mean always, be near and dear to my heart. Let me just let you know that. And then with the game returning this year, it's just perfect, 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 perfect. But I wanted to get y'all warmed up for this episode because I got to give Jason Tatum a little bit of slack. I got to give him a little bit of love. I listened to Melo's podcast, and for an athlete who has won three or four medals, I want to say, in the Olympics, and he was asked the obvious question. Would you trade any one of your gold medals or would you trade all of your gold medals in for an NBA championship? And he said no. If y'all want to know his reasons, please go check his latest episode. He explains everything. But the reason why I'm bringing up Tatum and bringing up Melo's episode is because Melo, a person who was on the sidelines during his last Olympic run, we seen what Bron did. Crazy. We seen what AD did. Stepped up. Bam stepped up in the game, you know, and we seen what Curry did. We seen what the chef did. There was players throughout the USA team who had fewer moments than others. But then there were usual suspects who did step up to the competition. The world has caught up. So it's different. And the reason why I wanted to bring up Tatum is because Tatum probably had the worst performance out of all the players outside of Embiid. He was one of the players who had a terrible Olympic display. That wasn't fully his fault. Now, when he got into the game, he performed terribly to his standards, though. You know what I mean? And that's what I meant when I tweeted it out. At the moment, which was a while ago, is that when he got in the game, he didn't make the best of it, right? The blame you have to give to the player. At the same time, I think the average fan base or the average fan don't really understand, even the portion of the fan base who has played the sport, a team sport that is. We underestimate the power of chemistry, team chemistry, of playing your position, playing your role. We assume because Tatum coming off a NBA championship run that it's easy for him to fill in or fit in a roster full of the other greats. We see it often when we watch the NBA All-Star game. Problem is, when we talk about the NBA All-Star game, they're not running no damn plays. Yes, they may have practice. You know, they may have sets here and there. But they're not running no goddamn plays in the All-Star game. I mean, at least not until the fourth quarter. Quarter one through third, these niggas is throwing it off the backboard. Throwing lobs from out of bounds on the opposite side of the court. All kind of crazy shit. Because it's for the fans. It's entertaining. It's entertainment at the end of the day. It's kind of like their WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? It's a showmanship. So you can't fully compare it to the USA team. To get invited to play for the USA team is one thing. It's a major thing. It's a beautiful thing. I think Halliburton was the only one who knew he wasn't going to get as much playing time and still got a gold medal. There's nothing to complain about because, A, if you get invited to one and barely play, there's a good chance you might get invited to the next one, depending on how you plan. Now, with the Olympics being 4 years from now, and it's coming to L.A., there's a huge possibility that we won't see LeBron Curry or KD on the court at the same time. Again, that was historical. I think some people took it for granted. You know what I mean? I didn't even watch every matchup. I didn't, you know. And I'd be the first to raise their hand and say, hey, if they're not going to come out here and play with passion and play for the goal, I'm not even going to bother wasting my time watching them. This is one of the Olympics that I watched a lot in various different events, sporting events, anything and everything. You know, me and my wife's stance is not really like everybody else's. It's not, you know, we are USA all the way, like through and through. That's not us. You know, when it comes to certain events like basketball, yeah, I'm rooting for USA. You know, most of the players, if not all the players that's on that USA team, I like. They know better to play with us when it comes to football. They're not about to do that. They will be bringing baseball back. They will be bringing flag football. I'm not sure how and who to get in contact with that 3-on-3. But I don't see how we have so much talent in basketball in the USA and we can't find a decent 3-on-3 roster. I literally have no idea how you get involved in the 3-on-3, and I don't know how to apply or anything. I do want to do research on that and look that up, because I'm not sure why we're not looking towards Ice Cube's Big Three. Because clearly the talent that we have is not enough. That's embarrassing. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? It's the world, the world has gotten better. You know what I mean? I don't think our talent pool has gone down. It's just the world has gone better. They have a lot to study of. And these are talking points that I'm actually sharing and taking from Melo's podcast. Because it's true. I mean, it's common sense when you really look at it. You know, if we're going to sit up here and say Kobe will never be Jordan, but, you know, he has somebody to study off of, so he could either be just as good. And if you claim he can never be better, all right, that's your opinion, and that's cool, right? There's some people that actually believe Kobe was a better player than Michael Jordan. Hey, not about to get an argument out of me. I like both, right? And Kobe just happened to be my guy just a little bit more. But we already know what it is when it comes to MJ. We already know what it is when it comes to Kobe. And Kobe was a younger player who studied Michael Jordan and other players, with Michael Jordan being one of his favorite players. So when you look at the world and see where it all came from, like the development, they had years and damn near decades to learn how to play the game of basketball with passion because of representing their country. But let me get back to the whole Tatum point. You get placed on this roster after winning an NBA championship. So the fan base, especially your home fan base or even your region, you know what I'm saying, all the way down to the college that you attended, to the high school that you attended, your hometown, everybody's rooting for you because you're representing USA. You just won an NBA championship. They picked you to be a part of that team, and you're playing amongst some Hall of Famers, you know, against the world. Steve Kerr, I don't think he did a great job at coaching. And a lot of people are talking about, as far as like the X's and O's, and I'm not even talking about that. Like, Melo shared a point that a lot of people overlook because I haven't heard anybody talk about it except for Melo. And he's the perfect person to talk about it because we just went over his accolades when it came to the Olympics. Is that you have to find a role for that player to be in. Again, we can't compare it to the All-Star game because in the All-Star game, you could selfishly try to go after the MVP award for the All-Star game if you hot. And your teammates is more likely to pass you the ball more and let you cook if you're in the zone. My problem is that people are saying, and including myself, I was like, dog, not realizing that you have to remember the rules when it comes to the Olympics. You know, the world NBA, I mean the world NBA, the world basketball is different from the NBA basketball, or Olympic basketball is different from the NBA basketball. There's a lot of different rules, et cetera. So to say, because of he's at a certain status, and he's been getting criticized before he won his championship, because it seemed like he just couldn't be that guy to get to the next level. He has been criticized, and rightfully so. You know what I mean? Even with this past finals, clearly the better player for his team wasn't him. It was Jaylen Brown. Unanimously, a lot of people picked him to win the finals MVP. And even some people, including myself, said, shit, not in a close second, but in a second, I'll take Drew Holiday. Because without Drew Holiday, I'm not sure if Boston wins without Drew Holiday. Just like I wasn't sure that the Bucks will win without Drew Holiday. He is an important piece. When the Bucks' second greatest play, not greatest, when the Bucks' second option wasn't playing as good or went down, then Drew Holiday stepped up, guarded their best player on the team or second best player, where however you want to rate Devin Booker, and gave him issues that finals. Him and Chris Paul. So it was the same thing with Boston, where Jaylen Brown he earned his money. He earned his money. I'm not saying that he took the spotlight from Tatum, but he did what he had to do. And Boston, in all honesty, they did what they had to do by going to draft those two young players and keeping those young two players together and grinding it out, finally winning the championship. We're not going to talk about why Jaylen Brown is not on that team, but we know what it is. But as far as Tatum, we assume because he just won an NBA championship that he will be plugged into the USA team and be one of the faces to lead the USA team. And that wasn't the case. It was damn near like he didn't really have to be there. In all honesty, he did not have to be there for them to win. Because he was there, really didn't contribute, and they still won. And that's not a disrespect. That's actually all facts. That's exactly what happened. The crazy part is I don't think we would have struggled as much if Kerr would have found out how to implement Jason Tatum into the offense. And I don't think that clearly that didn't happen, because he had him on the bench a lot. And when he did have him in the game, Tatum just looked like he couldn't really fit. Now, looking at it prior to this, it's like, what's going on? But Melo made a good, he made a good point. Bro, he feels out of place. He doesn't know what to do. And for cats who do play or has played sports, no matter how confident you are, you would have to do something off the script to make a point or get to where you need to be to feel comfortable. I'm not sure if he was able to do that on that USA team. You're invited to play. They don't have to pick you. And it could hurt you next go around. Well, he's a person that doesn't listen. He's a person that wants to take over. He's greedy. That's a stacked roster. He got a lot of players that's considered better than him, as good as him. So it's like, what do you do in a situation like that? It was damn near a situation where Tatum had his hands behind his, tied behind his back. Now, I'm not caping for him, but I'm also not shitting on him anymore either, because it's like, yeah, I feel like as a player, you should be able to still go in there and figure some shit out on the court. And your teammates should understand that as well. But as a head coach, you should be able, even the assistant coaches, which we know, we don't know how much pull they have, how much say-so they have over the head coach in this situation. Steve Kerr is the head coach. You have to figure out, instead of making dumbass comments afterwards saying you felt so, you felt this and that way for not playing, and that you just thought, come on, bro, keep the PC shit out of there. You have to figure out a way to run a successful offense with Tatum on the floor. Not saying that he has to be the main option of scoring, but figure out how you're going to get him involved so he could help, because maybe with his talent and him being involved and building some chemistry with the team, some of these game, playing against France, playing against Serbia, whoever, might not be that difficult if you have all your horses building chemistry with each other. So that's basically what this episode was about, saying now that we have LA 28 coming up, he most likely will be one of those faces that we look towards. Because there's no telling what the roster is going to look like. But I know who we're expecting to be on that team and why we're expecting to be on that team. We just got to pray Ja Morant keeps his head on straight for the next 4 years. I have to have him in the backcourt. In the Olympics, that jersey is going to be crazy. And I don't know what jersey number he's going to wear. But to have Tatum on that, Tatum will be the veteran player on that Olympics team. You know what I mean? Unless something happens by the grace of God, he's healthy. But and it doesn't matter which team he plays for, whether he's still with Boston or he's with another team, he's going to be on that USA team. And all I got to say is make sure we put together a great roster, because hey, look, fellas, it's gonna be scary out there. I don't think we're not going to have a 43, 42, 43, 44 year old, however old this nigga gonna be. We're not gonna have a middle-aged Bron on the team. Steph Curry is getting older. You know, 4 years from now, seeing Curry on a USA team, I think Curry was happy with his one that he got. KD, they're all deteriorating. They're still great. For the average American, y'all can't beat them in basketball. Y'all can't guard them for 38 minutes. But to the up-and-coming players, the younger players, even the players across the world who, this is just, we know what it is. When it comes to these other countries, they play tough. France is going to be there. We know who's on that France squad. Victor's going to be there. We know who's going to be down in Serbia squad. Joker's going to be there. You see what I'm saying? So, and these are cats, they project Victor to be one of the faces of the league in the near future. Joker's already the faces of the, and he's multiple MVP championship, MVPs and the championship. They're there. They are there. 4 years from now, LA 28 is going to be cracking. It's going to be cracking. So we got to pay attention to that. We got to send our best over there. And who do we have left after those three players that I just said that's not going to be on the team together anymore? It's going to be slim pickings. The talent's always going to be there in the NBA. We already know that. We're going to have the cream of the crop. No matter what Noah Lyles says, we are going to be the best in the world regardless. It's our sport. But you got to put the right players on the team, and you got to have the right coach. Don't send Kerr back. Because if he's going to make an excuse on why he shouldn't play certain players, that's not the coach. That's not the coach. And the thing about it is, it's L.A. It's going to be a lot of pressure. This ain't Paris. You know what I'm saying? This ain't Tokyo. And no disrespect. It's just not that. You in L.A. If they had the Olympics in New York, they had the Olympics in L.A., it's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. The media capital. Come to L.A. They already passed the torch to us. Snoop Dogg, Flea, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Dr. Dre. It's already opened up. Billie Eilish, like, L.A., we waiting. They're about to start building some shit up. The Clippers Arena will be done, damn near complete already. They've already polished up UCLA. They will be using over 80-something venues out here in L.A. Streets is going to be crazy. But the one thing that we're going to focus on is that basketball team. So shout out to Tatum, man. Like, you won a gold medal. He'll have a story to tell, but the story that he's really going to have to stand on is the results and the outcome of LA 28. That's what we're going to be here for. We could easily forget about what happened this year in 2024 in Paris. We can forget about that. The only time we'll bring that up and won't even bring that particular Olympics up is when we add up his gold medals, depending on how many he gets. But that LA 28, that's right up. That's going into veteran. He's going into being a veteran. So let's get it done. Let's get it done. I need John Morant on that team. Let's get it done. I need Zion Williamson on that team. Let's get it done. You know what I mean? At this point, man, we got too much talent not to be taking home gold. But that's not even the thing, because they expect us to. We shouldn't be struggling like this. Even though the world has caught up, they still learn from us. They will always learn from us. Without us, the culture does not move. They are allowed to play with the best in the world. And that starts with us, no matter what Noah Lyle says. Overrun with BTG, man. That's it, man. Shout out to Tatum, Kerr, Jesus Christ. As a man who has helped coach multiple championship teams and has been on a championship team, I've never thought I would have. I ain't gonna say I never thought I had to question his coaching, because we don't know. We don't know how he can coach outside of that Golden State team. You know what I mean? We're actually seeing it now because they're getting older, banged up, and his coaching is subpar. But when you got that much talent on the USA team, bro, you got to make that shit work. Egos involved. So apologize to Tatum until LA 28. Holla at y'all next week, man.